Today we are getting back to private prayer with Joel Beakey. I got on sermon. I got on the Puritan board this morning and confirmed it is Beakey. So that's how he says it, apparently, according to the people on that board. So we're going to continue on this study, private prayer. So we started out, we took inventory of ourselves, and then we came to a heading of take hold of yourself. So this is kind of principles, things that we can do to help us. This study is very practical. You know, it's kind of nitty-gritty. Here's how you can cultivate private prayer, how you can improve in that area of private prayer. So, you know, there is doctrine involved, but a lot of it's just very practical. So that's good. We spend a lot of time studying doctrine in Sunday school, so I think every once in a while he's, you know, more practical type, which this whole series has been very practical. That's just the nature of it. I think that's good for us to do. So taking hold of yourself is the heading we're on. Last time we talked about the value of prayer, and I thought that was one of the most important things, is to understand the value of it to help motivate us for prayer. The priority of prayer. Most things have to do with prioritizing, because we do have so many hours in a day, and we do get some things done. So when we say we have no time to do something, we just didn't have a priority for it. So some things need to fall off because they're not high priority. Some things need to stay on because they are high priority. So it's all about priority in that aspect. Speaking with sincerity in prayer. So again, the sincere prayer is a true prayer. And they said sometimes that might mean adjusting how you behave and act around people who know you. Because if you can't say a prayer and the person roll their eyes who knows you too well, that's a sign that your life is not lining up with your prayer and that your sincerity is not there. So the next topic or principle that we're going to talk about is cultivating continual prayer. So I want to have three people look up Bible verses. So somebody look up 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's extremely short, so you might want to get it first. Romans 12:12. And then Colossians 4:2. Whenever you have 1 Thessalonians 5:17, fire away.
Everybody looked up Romans.
Everybody looked at the Romans one. Anybody want to take 1 Thessalonians? About three words.
Pray always.
Pray without ceasing, yeah. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12. Alan? Oh, he's got to get his glasses. Okay. You want me to hold the Bible out here? Just hold it here.
Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer.
Faithful in prayer. I think other translations fall along those lines with continual prayer. Who has Colossians 4:2? Yeah, let's go, Cole.
Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving.
Okay. So those three.
In Romans, the other translation say continual
prayer? I don't know exactly.
The ESV says constant.
Constant prayer. Okay.
Faithful.
It's.
But you would think faithful is like regularly, not.
Yeah, not necessarily always. And always. Yeah, so there's a difference. Yeah. You've got the NIV, right? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. So I think we get the idea there, right? Is that you got to be in prayer every minute of the day, right? That's what they're saying. Of course, that's not exactly possible. So we'll try to get the idea of what the meaning is when we say continual prayer, constant prayer, praying without ceasing. Prayer must be our work throughout the day, he says. We fulfill this mandate in a number of ways. So obviously, it would be hard to do much. It would have been hard for Paul, the Apostle Paul, to do much had he was literally been, on his knees praying throughout the day, daylight to dark. So there's he lists about four ways that we can do this. The first is to maintain an attitude of prayer throughout the day. As one man said, when we finish talking to God, we don't hang up. We keep the line open. We live moment by moment in the presence of God. So this is this idea of, yes, we have a designated prayer time, but our mindset is not one where, okay, that's done. Let's move on to the rest of my day. And then maybe I'll do that again tonight or the next morning. But it's living in this idea of living in the presence of God. Somebody said last time, Coram Deo, living before the face of God. Spurgeon said this, though I am apt to be unsettled and quickly set off the hinges, yet methinks I am like a bird out of the nest. I am never quiet until I am in my old way of communion with God, like the needle in the compass that is restless till it be turned to the pole. So in that time of uncertainty, it's a restlessness until there's a time for that communion with God. So it's a continual feeling. It's not being in prayer all day, but it's having that mindset. But also, he says here, to pray without ceasing, we should establish set times of prayer in our daily schedule. So you can have that attitude of prayer, and you should have that attitude of prayer throughout the day, where that's kind of your go-to. But we also need these set times of prayer, right? A certain time where we actually stop what we're doing and focus on that for a time. He also says here, maybe it's before your day's work, right before you fall asleep. Also, meals are appropriate time to pause, give thanks, and lift up our needs. And it may be different for different people, so it's not necessarily here's when you have to. It's not prescribed that I'm aware of in the Bible that you are to pray this many times a day. Must be when you first wake up, but there are times that traditionally have fallen into that, right? In the morning is a good time, or before bed. I would recommend before you actually get into bed. unless you're having trouble going to sleep, because that's what can happen. Okay, so setting up a schedule is helpful in this idea. Third, saturate your routines of your earthly life with meditation on the relationship of things earthly and temporal to things heavenly and eternal. This was an interesting one I hadn't really thought about before. So it's the idea of saturating your routines in our earthly life and trying to think in your mind of their relationship to things in the heavenly. So this is different things for different folks, I think, here. This young woman, as she dressed in the morning, prayed for God to clothe her with Christ. As she cleaned her house, she prayed for God to wash sin from her family's lives. As she cooked supper, she prayed for God to help the preacher to prepare spiritual food for his flock. So this idea of what am I doing here, and then in your mind maybe tying that to something spiritual or heavenly. So she was praying for a preacher. That's good. Yeah, interesting idea. Fourth, we should be alert and ready to pray at a moment's notice. So this is kind of that idea of a mindset of prayer and that being kind of your go-to. It says here, maintain a state of spiritual alertness like the soldier in the squad who carries the radio and is always ready to call for support. So that kind of mental picture, right? He's the one who's got the radio, and it's his job to do that. Well, that's our job as Christians, calling in for support, so to speak. But like this, whenever you feel the least impulse to pray or see a need to pray, do so. It says even if you're in the midst of a difficult job or kind of a dangerous time, as soon as you can actually safely stop and pray, if you feel that urge to do it. He says that could be the prompting of the Spirit, and we don't want to push that off. We don't want to neglect that. He says here, don't tell yourself to wait until it's more convenient. Start praying immediately. Learn to pray inwardly while the outward man is busy with daily tasks. So if you're doing something, driving, working, if that need arises, if you can't stop, then just keep doing what you're doing, but pray. So I thought that's a That's a good idea as well. So that's the idea of continual, cultivating that continual prayer. So those are very practical ways that we can do that. Practically speaking, no one can literally pray without ceasing, in the literal sense, right? But these techniques, these principles here, he's laid forth, can help us develop closer to that, right? To where it's a mindset, it's part of our minute-to-minute life, as opposed to considering it like a call to a friend. You know, when you get off the phone, you hang up, that call's over. You're probably not thinking too much about it, right? You're not maintaining that conversation somehow throughout the day. But with God, we shouldn't just hang up when the prayer is over, right? We should keep that in our forefront of our mind. And that is really hard to do, in my opinion. And for others, it may not be as bad, but it's just hard not to get caught up in the moment of the day and not even think about prayer until later that evening or the next day even. So we don't want to have that mindset. The next principle is to organize for prayer. And I was thinking about this one. Has anybody ever been to a meeting that didn't have like a set agenda? Or maybe you went on a trip and you didn't have things planned out. You just kind of thought, oh, we'll just kind of, it'll all just work itself out when we get there.
My whole life.
I have had both of those, okay? That is more of my style. Let's just let it kind of fall out as it plans. Thankfully, Christina does help me some with making some plans and such, so it's not just show up and, you know, see what happens. But, yeah, it's usually chaos, right? And not much really gets done. Ends up being a waste of time, not very valuable. Well, that's kind of the idea for prayer here. If you go into prayer and just kind of wing it and not have an organization of any kind, the value won't be there. Things will be obviously left off because you didn't have some kind of agenda or set idea. So he says, if we don't have a system for our intercession, we will hardly pray for anyone on a regular basis. He says to organize your petitions by some system or list. Does anybody know of any examples of things like that? Prayer systems or whatever to help you pray properly?
Is it an acronym?
Yep.
Is it ACTS?
Yep. Yeah, that's the main one that I know and use. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So at least it helps you get through these four kind of main subheadings or headings. To order your prayer. And that was revolutionary, right? To do any, just start with that and say, okay, here's these different times during the prayer where I'm going to do these different things. Is there any other ones? I'm thinking there is, but I'm not really up on them. I'm sure that other people have come up with systems.
System for prayer?
Yeah.
Well, of course, Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer.
There you go. Yep. Exactly. That's a pretty good system. Comes from a good source. Christ himself gave us the Lord's Prayer. And that's a form of prayer. And so you can go through the petitions and then pray specifically about those petitions.
Isn't that where Acts comes from?
Yeah, I think Acts might be kind of a distillation. Yeah.
Adoration and confession.
Yep, I think so. I think it's a distillation of put it into 4 points. So you can do Acts for a while. And then you can switch to the Lord's Prayer and work your way through it. Martin Luther said a lot about prayer, and one of the things he recommended was using the Ten Commandments during your confession time. You wouldn't necessarily have to go through all of them in one day, but because that could get pretty lengthy. But confession using the Ten Commandments. So, yeah, the Lord's Prayer, I think, is another form that we would use. But it organizes things. It organizes it into manageable sections, and I say that, but it's also okay sometimes to just pray whatever's on your mind. Just know that, you know, as far as a routine type thing, a system will help you cover things that you need to pray about, that you want to pray about. Having lists, we have our prayer list for our church. Making a list yourself is valuable. New Horizons has a calendar of prayers, yeah. For is that for mission works? primarily, or is that for churches in general? I can't remember.
Usually it is.
Yeah.
In the back, there's usually a little bit of everything throughout the whole entire
OPC. There you go. What else does the OPC give us to help us pray for missionaries? Yep.
On the mission works.
Yep. Is that like the little updates that we get in our...
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we get those updates. What were you thinking of?
Yeah, it's that book we get.
The cards or the book?
I think it comes to the house.
Oh, the New Horizons.
Yeah.
The magazine?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we get these as well, which are made especially for prayer.
Right.
Right?
Anybody can take a pack of those.
You don't have one of these?
That represents all our missionaries.
Well, just for participating today, we'll give you a packet free of charge. Thank you, Brenda. That's a prize. That's a prize for you. So yeah, those have needs that the families have brought up, that they have prayer requests. So there's another tool, right, to help us. It's a system. It's a list to help us pray. He says here, regularly read newsletters and updates from churches and missionaries. So we've got our New Horizons. We've got the emails that we get. We've got what's in our orders of worship. There's no shortage of information for us. And so it can be overwhelming, but you don't have to make use of every single thing. Pick one thing. Or every single thing, whatever works for you. Don't.
You know, you're talking about just sometimes just praying.
Yeah.
What's on your heart, but I think that, like, if you're doing something like going for a walk or you're cutting the grass or something that you're not really having to think about much.
Yeah.
A lot of times, that's when you the need to be in constant prayer shows up then, because you start thinking of God and you start.
Yeah.
Talking with them and praying while you're doing something else. And that's part of, I think, keeping his word in your heart and
absolutely
being in a constant state of prayer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's always right there.
Yep.
Or if you're driving and you just miss a deer that jumps across, the first thought is that you've just been rescued.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
That should be your first thought. Yeah.
That thought comes first.
Yep. No, that's definitely falls right in line with that continual prayer, keeping that mindset. And when you have a mundane task, there's all sorts of things you can do while you're doing a mundane task. You can think about other stuff. You can think, and you probably will, but you could also pray during that time. Exactly. Here's an interesting idea he laid out. Buy a map of the world or an area of special concern for you, and you can mark it up as you pray for that, for the work of the gospel throughout that area. So that's a neat one. I've never heard that. He summarizes this section. He says, stay focused in all your intercessory praying. Be specific in your prayers. Be earnest while you pray. Be expectant that your prayers will be answered. And be patient in waiting for the divine fruit. If you pray this way, intercessory praying may become your most fruitful and valuable ministry. So if you take it seriously and really work at it, put the work in, he says it may be your most fruitful and valuable ministry. Yeah. Praying fervently for these things. I think that's kind of an exciting thing right there. That should motivate us. No matter what situation you're in, for the most part, we can all pray, right? And we can find that time somewhere. You don't have to be able to travel to foreign lands or even hit the streets of Donovan with a bag full of tracts and witnessing. While that's good, you can pray. You can start with prayer right there at home. Somebody want to read John 15:7.
abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
So it's speaking there, if your word abides in me and I abide in you. So the topic here, he says, one reason your prayer life may be drooping is that you have neglected the Holy Scriptures. So to use your Bible as a guide for prayer. And Al, you hit on that a minute ago. Looking at prayers in the Bible, reading our Bible regularly, puts God's word into us. And it makes all the difference when it comes time to pray. The Westminster Divines said in the larger catechism, the whole word of God is of use to direct us in the duty of prayer. So to direct us in the duty of prayer, we use the whole word of God, right? It makes it a two-way conversation. So some people say prayer is a two-way conversation. They might meet a little differently than what we would say. There's not a tingle you'll get or a word in your mind from the Lord in that way that's new revelation. But it is a two-way conversation in the sense that we glean from his word and he speaks to us through his word. And then we speak back to him in prayer. So we need to listen to God, not just talk to him. That's a very interesting idea. We listen to God by filling our minds with the Bible, because the Bible is God speaking in written form. And to me, this makes sense, because as you get to know people and you talk to them and you want to be good communicating with them, you listen to how they talk, right? And you learn how they communicate. And you work that in to when you're communicating with them. So you guys are kind of on common ground. When you don't know people well, there's miscommunications and you take things the wrong way because you don't really know how each other talk and what you mean by this or that. But we can read God's word, and that helps us to speak with him, right? He speaks to us through his word, and then we speak back to him through prayer. And as we work the scripture into that, our prayers will improve.
I think that's important also in memorizing scripture, because, I mean, even if we don't memorize it word for word exactly,
yeah.
I mean, as long as we know what it's saying, a lot of times when we're praying, that's how God does answer. Mm-hmm. That's how you can have a back and forth, because all of a sudden these verses come to your mind that applies to what your issue was.
Mm-hmm.
What your problem was or what you were praying for. And these verses come, and sometimes it'll just start out with, if you're remembering memory verses and you're trying to go through them in your mind so you don't forget them, and then all of a sudden one of those verses will connect with something else.
Mm-hmm. That's going on.
And it starts you praying.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of neat. But
yeah.
Again, that's how the verse that says, your word have I hidden in my heart. I think that's what it's talking about, that it's part of you.
Yep, that's what you want. That's ideal. You may not know the exact address of that verse. You may not know exactly where it's found. You probably won't get it dead on. But it's the thought is there, and that's more valuable, is that you know you've got it in your heart. Yeah, God's word from just, and that doesn't happen overnight. That takes years upon years and decades of reading God's word, hearing God's word preached, and that's how you get to that point. It's not something you can't flip a switch. So he says here, one benefit of praying from a heart soaked in scripture is that your prayers will increasingly reflect the heart of God. And so you want your prayers to be in line with God's will. If you want answered prayers, that's the right way. Align your will with God's will, his revealed will, and your prayers will reflect his heart. And that's what you want. You can't get that without God's word. That's how we understand it better. Listening to it preached, reading it for ourselves. And then finally, I will summarize here. It says to refresh your prayers with biblical variety. So I'm going to just mainly read this. Another benefit of Bible study for prayer is that the Word of God keeps our hearts from falling into ruts carved by our own personalities. So there's various kinds of prayer, right? Praise of God's glories, confession of our sins, petition of our needs, physical and spiritual, thanks for God's mercies, intercession for others. And so there's different kind of modes of prayer, and that's having a system helps you to cover these things. But if you're just kind of praying off the cuff and you're not taking inventory of that versus Scripture, you might be missing something, right? You might be very thankful and tell God you're thankful and be, focusing on that, but you might be not be confessing sins like we should. You may only be confessing sins and mourning, so to speak, but never giving God praise like you should. So our own personalities can hinder us some. So that's why you want to look at the scope of biblical prayers, and using the a system from the Lord's Prayer or something will help that as well, and make sure that it's balanced. So it says here, to summarize this whole section on taking hold of ourselves for prayer, exercise self-discipline in your thinking and pursue a life of prayer. Remind yourself of how important prayer is. Make it a high priority. Avoid dead formality and always be conscious that you live in the presence of God. Organize your life and use your Bible for the sake of prayer. Do not wait for God to strike you with a spiritual lightning bolt to refresh your prayer life. At the very least, put up a lightning rod. Because we know what that means, right? A lightning bolt into your prayer life. That usually means something that's gotten your attention. Very serious going on in your life. Let's be diligent in prayer all the time. Any questions? Got about 10 minutes before the next segment.